You're listening to the Dental Sherpas Podcast, where we make it easier to transform your practice, get out of the chair, and into the life you want.
Hey, docs, Dr. Sed Lewis here. We're always looking to add great docs to our team. What we have created is a practice that's literally built for you to shine. Hey, and guess what? You get to practice dentistry in paradise here in Hawaii. If you're at all interested and are exploring a position in our practice, please contact me at drlewis@kokuasmiles.com. That's Dr. Period Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, at Kokua, K-O-K-U-A, smiles.com. Love to hear from you. Can't wait to speak to you.
And well, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Dental Sherpas Podcast. I'm here, as always, it's Matt Kennedy and my co-host, Dr. Cedric Lewis, out in Honolulu, Hawaii. Said, we need the weather report out there, my friend.
Yes, I'm going to give the weather report. Honolulu. No, as usual, it's another crappy day in paradise. We've got beautiful trade. The trade winds are back, which is nice to see. Spring weather is always the best time of the year, as far as I'm concerned. We've still got some nice warm weather. It's in that high 70s with the trades, 10 to 15 mile an hour trade winds. It's a spectacular time to be here. We've got great currents coming in from the west. So people surfing is great on the south side of the island. If you guys are tourists, I would highly recommend spring in Hawaii. You can't go anywhere better.
well, and we'll go ahead and mention now that you do get a kickback from the tourism department of Hawaii there. No, it's funny. I don't know if folks enjoy that little weather update, but I certainly do. And I want folks out there to be a little bit jealous and also say that, you know, as we open up our podcast that, you know, you are always looking to add folks to the team. So, you know, you too, fair listener, can practice in Hawaii and experience some of that as well. So
absolutely. Yeah. New doctors, new great team members. We'd love to have you guys. We're always building something and we want to have great people join us. So yeah, that invitation is always open.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, you and I were talking before we hit record here, and in an organization like yours, things are always changing and there's always, you know, great, exciting things that are happening. There's always challenges that are happening. It is not a static place. Once you get to the place where you are, you know, out of the chair, it is not a static position. And that really ties into the series that we are covering now. This is our sixth episode in our series that we're calling Staying at the Top. And it really came from this, your own experience, right? Around, sure. Hey, we worked really hard to climb to the summit, right? And I'll just repeat again, the summit being that place where you actually being in the chair and doing dentistry becomes optional. But once you get to the summit, it doesn't mean you take your eye off the ball because like everything else in life, you know, what is it? Murphy's Law, right? You know, yes. Who wants to show up and things starts to go. So I know, you faced some challenges here recently, some wonderful success. I mean, you guys, talk about that for a second. You guys are just blowing and going this year, right?
Yeah, we've had wonderful success. I mean, if you look at overall, I think our company is up 40% from last year. Obviously COVID made some challenges, but I'm really excited. I think if you look at our trajectory, like we're looking at a scenario where things are going right based on we're looking at projecting and adding more doctors and more team members to kind of accommodate that growth. We see a scenario where we're going to continue to grow with, you know, hopefully into that 66% range within the next quarter itself, because we really see our model and our team kind of growing to kind of meet the challenge. So it's exciting. It's like, you know, as Matt said, we certainly have our faces of our challenges. And I think Matt and I talked off the podcast that one of the challenges I'm running into will be a podcast in its own. I'd be love to talk about it because I really enjoy being transparent about what I'm going through, because as Matt just said, it never stops. The challenges, the constant, I call it in the book I wrote, I talk about the windy road and the hairpin turns and all the things you have to navigate running a practice. But, I think the wonderful thing is that it's interesting that you have to, look at things differently rather than being a reactionary leader. You have to be very reflective. And I'm going to be happy to talk about that on one of the podcasts in the future.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking while you were talking. I know we use sports analogies. I'll use another one. My son is a freshman in high school. He's playing basketball. And so he's playing on an AAU kind of travel team and really with the goal of just getting more experience. And so he had a tournament this weekend. And one of the things that I was talking about was, I said, it's one thing to know kind of intellectually what to do, right? Like, the right play to make. you know, the offense when there's no defense out there and you're kind of doing the shadow run through the offense, you know where you're supposed to go. You know, you can hit the shot when you're wide open. All of that stuff is good, but it's a totally different game when you get another team out there and they're trying to take that ball and they're trying to score. And it's something very interesting that we talked about over the weekend that was, instead, basketball is a game of not avoiding contact and challenges, but it's really going after the contact, like playing to the contact. I was telling John Mark, as my son, I was like, hey, expect the contact. Like, draw it to you, because you can either get fouled or, you know, you cannot play a game where you're trying to stay out of the contact. And the same, I think, is a pretty good analogy to business, right?
Yes.
Like, expect the challenge. It's not something that's always going to be smooth seas or wide open layups, to keep my basketball analogy going. You got to expect that there's going to be some stuff. And so I look forward to talking about that with you.
Yeah. In the future. And I'll finish this discussion before we get into our own stuff today. But I was, my anecdotal kind of way of looking at talk to my management team is like, you know, lean into the contact.
There you
because
go.
Because it's an inevitability. You're going to have it. And more importantly, you're going to find that rather than looking at, let's say, a crisis or a problem, or for that matter, a barrier as being kind of this permanent wall, I mean, look at it as being an opportunity, you know, opportunity to kind of find a way to get around it, through it, or over it. You know, we'll figure that out together. Yeah.
And it's also, too, it's like, if there's no contact, to keep our analogy going, or to shift analogies, if the waves are always calm, that might be something to pay attention to, go, what might be coming, right?
Right.
What's being unsaid, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What's happening, you know, under the water, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. So, nothing wrong with a little healthy paranoia, as they say.
There you go, because and it's really the place we've talked about it on the podcast. We want to keep saying it. Mm-hmm. In my experience and in your experience, for both of us, we really watch other dentists who try to implement this model, and they say, man, I want to get to the place where I'm at, out of the chair. It takes so much more than just the roadmap even that we're giving here. It takes a lot of like internal fortitude. It takes that willingness to be self-reflective, to do those things that you talk about, which are growing into a leader, shifting from being that that producer into being a leader. And, you know, you saw it even, you know, this week in your, you know, your practice. And so, not to be too cagey, but we are going to do a podcast on it. And
absolutely.
Talk about challenges and adversity and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate your, appreciate your transparency on that. I know I always learn a lot, and I know our listeners do as well. So in keeping with our theme here of staying at the top, what's the topic for today? Once you get to the top, in order to stay there, you got to pay attention to some things. And so we're kind of on our sixth thing that you need to pay attention to here. So take it away.
Yeah. So number six, I want to talk today about, which is something that I'm sure all doctors at any level of their practice always have a certain concern, or hopefully a certain level of focus on, which is overhead control and control of variable costs in the practice. And so I want to speak a little bit about that, because that's something that never goes away. I think the big perception or misperception that many people have is that they think as large organizations grow, it's like, oh, it must be wonderful. You're making all that money and all that productivity. But based on that growth that occurs, expenses just keep going up. And in many respects, unless you're actually controlling the way of running your overhead and your expenses, you can quickly lose control. And when I say quickly, I mean, these things can happen within days and weeks, meaning that you can go from a perspective of knowing exactly what your spend is going to be on certain items in the practice, keeping your overhead under control, to quickly being out of control and then losing control of your cash flow. So I'm going to speak today on how we go about doing things to get control over that aspect, but more importantly, philosophically, how to keep your organization on par to make sure you don't fall into the traps of spending, you know, for lack of a better term, unscrupulously, or for that matter, that's not really a good word, but, you know, irresponsibility is what I should say. We don't want to be just spending for the sake of like, hey, this seems like a great thing to do. Let's just get it. I call that the shiny object syndrome that many dentists fall into. So I want to speak today on how you can avoid that, but more importantly, kind of create systems along the line to get you to a level that you can do these things. You can grow with confidence, knowing full well you've got the check and balances in place to make sure you keep it under control for the organization as you grow.
Yeah, as we talked about before, what I see a lot of times that dentists do is, you know, we've called it bank balance accounting here. You know, they look at their bank account and they say, oh, we've got X amount of dollars in here. Can we afford whatever? So they do that. But then the second thing that happens, and I wonder if this is what you're talking about here, they are very reactionary in their supply cost ordering and those kinds of things. It's like all of a sudden we got to have this, we got to have this, we're out. And, you know, three different folks order it because it was an emergency. So you end up with three times the supplies that you end up needing, and it's sitting over there in the back, and you take that and multiply that over an organization your size, and it can, you know, suck that cash flow really quickly.
Absolutely. And I chuckle because I've lived that. I've been there at some point in the credit. And truth be known, I want to be very transparent. That still goes on because, you know, we, like I said, that 40% growth we experienced, I think in many respects, kind of gets a little bit intoxicating. And your team starts to kind of get a little off the range, so to speak. I call it off the reservation, because as much as you're going to have these systems, which is why I bring it up on this list, you've always got to keep that tight to the vest, because that's the biggest trap that can occur. And I want to make sure as you grow, you're going to be able to still control these things. So you're not going to be put in that position where that happens too often.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the least focused on jobs inside of the dental office, right? You know, we've talked about how hygiene recare is, you know, something that most offices do on their downtime. Right.
Right.
So therefore it's really way far down the list. Right.
Right.
But it's also the same when it comes to supply ordering. Right.
Right. Exactly.
It usually is way down the list. There's not a systematic approach to it. It's really hard, you know, to understand how much inventory you really do have, especially when you have multiple locations, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that becomes a major
issue. Yeah. So what we do, just to kind of give you some real tangible, like anecdotal advice that we do, and this has really helped us out, is that we've actually gotten a really good habit of creating really detailed spreadsheets of exactly what we're utilizing on a regular basis in the company, whether it's supplies, it could be equipment needs, it could be lab costs, it could be office supplies. And we're always making sure we have these long detailed charts rather than just kind of simply looking at a P&L at the end of the month and wondering what we spent. Now we've got really detailed spreadsheets showing every little item we have. And this is something that takes some time. It's going to be a little work on your end for those who are doing this, but you've got to do this so you can keep control over these items in your practice. And so what I have done in our practice is we have, you know, for lack of a better term, a back office manager who basically monitors the actual ordering that we have in the practice. And so as we know now, after doing this for so long, exactly how much we're going to particularly need from a standpoint of volume of supplies on a monthly basis. Within that spend, she now has a budget. She knows exactly, or for that matter, in the range of what she can spend a month or what we're going to need. And so she now has basically a report that she looks through weekly to make sure that she's not spending too much. So she now knows that in case we have demands, let's say, for example, there's a certain doctor who wants some more supplies, or assistants want more impression material, whatever it might be, she knows how much she can spend that month. And to a point people are probably thinking about on this podcast as I'm saying that, oh, what do you do if you need it? You're in this crisis. Well, you're going to get it, obviously, but you got to reflect that in the next month. You just simply can't spending it irregularly. You got to make sure you make the adjustment on the budget for the following month. That just is that check and balances I'm talking about that keeps you honest and keeps you on track so you're not put in the crisis mode of spending on expenses.
Right. So the money has to come from somewhere.
Absolutely.
It has to come from somewhere in the budget. And it can't just be, you know, it can't come from just that, as we talked about in last podcast, it can't come from profit, right?
No.
We've got budget. We've got to budget it. And
absolutely.
So it has to adjust. If you spend it extra this month, then next month you got less to spend because that's just the way it is, right?
Exactly. So what we typically do, in terms of people are going to ask, well, what's your percentage of your cost of supplies? So I think if you look at, this is the wonderful thing that you, for those who are Unified Smile members or work with, you know, the wonderful people with Dr. Walt Knish and his team, is that they give you some ranges of where you should be based on kind of like national average of what dental practices typically are spending on certain things. And so for the supply component or puzzle piece, typically we're looking at about anywhere between 6% to 8%, depending if you're in a growing company. That's how we kind of ranged it for ourselves. So what happens is that we now know that number based on that 6% of our expenses now is that value that our particular ordering supply team and my back office manager now know they work with. So they get that first, basically that number they know they can live within, and that becomes their budget they can actually focus on for us. Mm-hmm. So that becomes now, there's not this guessing game of like whether or not we can buy it or spend it. They know that just like anything, like any family that runs their own family budget really well, you know, you have this much money to spend on groceries a month, this much money to spend on cable, whatever it might be. We're just doing the same thing and making it more succinct in the dental practice. So we're doing that, but you've got to have your, so to speak, your grocery list in place to make sure you know exactly what you need to be actually filling on a regular basis there for us. So we have that. The second thing that I do from a perspective of checks and balances, you've heard me say in past podcasts, trust but verify from your team. We trust they're going to follow the budget. We trust they're doing the right thing, but they are also obligated to send us reports on a weekly basis of their spend. We know exactly what the budget is. They're showing us their weekly spend, and it's done not necessarily to micromanage them, but to keep them honest and also to give them an understanding of exactly how much they're spending so they can actually focus on that number for us. So that's what the reports are for. So in terms of some actionable things I would discuss with you right now, guys, you guys are going to have to go ahead and figure out what you guys are spending on your supplies and make those detailed spreadsheets for it. That's just an inevitability. I hate to add more homework to the already burdened burdened kind of task your team does or yourself, but you got to have that in place. The second thing you're going to have to do is you're going to find out that budget. Again, I have found that in my company, 6% is the ideal, but we crack into the 8% if we have like a growing company, if we have additional doctors or team members and we know we have an additional spend we have to live with. We're going to have that for a short amount of time, but then it's up to the practice, obviously, to rectify that percentage by actually growing the productivity from those particular doctors and providers mm-hmm. brought on.
Right.
So that's the first thing, right? And then
rectify that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you may have an early spend.
Correct.
Right? But it should show up in that production. Right.
Correct.
So that it brings those parameters back into that 6 to 8%. If we're just continuing to spend at the, 10 to 12% and the production is not following, we got a problem.
Yeah. We have a big problem. You're absolutely correct. And so I want to make sure that I thank you for clearing that up, Matt. So what we want to say is yes, you're going to have an initial investment. So your cost may go up on your supplies, let's say as you bring additional doctor, hygienist, team members. But the expectation should be there should be a predictable productivity jump that will occur, which will then actually bring your cost back in line.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something inherent where you're going to be watching, like how does the productivity from those new members, how does that bring your costs down? Because inevitably, your design from your operations should be that as you bring new people on, it shouldn't just be more burden on the company. It should be an actual boost to the company. And although the initial investment will actually be kind of a cost that'll be a little higher on the company's balance books, it'll eventually, for lack of a better term, rectify itself because of the productivity and revenue the company will make after that new people come on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Other thing I want to talk about, we want to spend the time as I finish this short podcast today, is about variable costs. How do you handle that? Like, for example, doctors are always saying this, like, hey man, I've got these associates, or hey man, I've got these things that come up and I just, let's say the newest technology comes up, or they've got this really cool iCAD, or they've got this really cool implant gizmo. And I'm not going to, make fun of any of the different supply companies out of there. But the reality is these kind of shiny objects come on a regular basis into the dental practice. And then in particular, for those who have associates, probably more often than you're comfortable with, right?
Yeah.
So what we do to get control of that is that, number one, we certainly just don't create like a hard line no, and they have to prove they actually get those supplies. We do live in the budget. These doctors are seeing the budget. They see exactly what our burden is. They know exactly what we can spend. But let's say if they want something, it isn't something where they have the ability to simply to kind of unilaterally make the call and have it ordered without the company knowing about it. We have a requisition form, much like all large companies have when they get supplies and equipment, is a requisition form that is seen by my manager, by my ordering supply team, and then ultimately by myself to make sure that it meshes with, number one, the need for the practice based on the clinical need that we have in the office or whatever that need may be, and it has to mesh in with the actual budget of that particular spend that month. That way, there's three different people who are looking at that to make sure that the actual equipment or supply requisition that's there will be something that will be actually able to be doing for the company in its own right. That has kept us out of trouble more times than not, because there's many times where doctors will simply, to Matt's point, hey, we did great. There's a lot of money in the bank account. Let's get that new piece of dental equipment. Let's buy let's overspend on extra supplies because we want to have a backlog of it. But what I would tell you is that by doing it in that fashion, that's when you start running into really big cash flow crunches, because you're not being a good shepherd of the expenses and actually control them so that the company can be doing extremely well and not be put in financial crisis in that capacity.
Yeah. And you mentioned this, and I want to highlight it just a little bit more. When you begin to add associates, especially when you start adding multiple associates, what I have seen and what you're referring to is the associates are really the ones who have the shiny object syndrome. And a lot of times they'll come in and they will say, well, my production's down because if you would just buy blank, or can we get this? I think, you know, they're the ones who are coming in. And to your point, like, you certainly want to listen to them, right? And we certainly don't want to just kind of shut them down, but having a process for that, that makes it a measured and responsible decision, really helps you as the owner slow that process down and helps you decide whether or not this is going to be a good investment. If it is, if we are going to invest here, what's the return that we could get back from it? It just helps all of that slow down by having the process, being able to say, sure, we have a process for that. Let's walk through that, you know, so that now you're listening to the associate. You're giving them voice, and you do want to consider, instead of just, you know, being the dad who always says, no, I say dad, you know what I mean? But now you have this process through which you guys can make really good decisions there.
100%. Yeah.
Because I've seen folks
become emotional. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I've seen folks who've come in, you know, doctors, associates come in and they convince the under doctor to get the, you know, the newest, whatever, Cerac machine or whatever. And it just sits over there gathering dust.
Absolutely.
They're not really using it, or that associate's not there very long. The one who was the biggest squeaky wheel there, and you know, all of those kinds of things. So it can't be a, hey, I'm going to make this purchase to appease this associate. It can't be any of those kinds of things, right?
No.
And so that's I love your process.
I would really encourage doctors. Sometimes there's a certain belief that we want to hold those things tight to the vest, that we don't want associates to know our spend or our budget. I think it's important. You know, I think I have found that in my particular case that it's been a much more transparent and much more honest relationship when I'm able to say, here, this is the budget cuts we have. This is how much we can spend. And I would love to get this thing. But number one, show me how it's going to work in the company, how it's going to help the practice, how it's going to help you. And more important, it's got to benefit other doctors. That's a great thing about being in a group practice that we have, is that our whole thing is, let's just collaborate with the doctor team. And like, if we're all going to use it, if we're all going to see the benefit, and there's a performer that shows us that it's going to return to the practice really great returns, both financially, and the patients are going to benefit greatly from it, then I would be silly not to look at that. Yeah. But at the same time, if they feel there's a certain responsibility on their part to look out for the best interest of the fiduciary responsibilities of the practice with their own, obviously, ambitions, then it becomes a scenario where they're actually more apt to basically be more caring about the practice when they're making these requests. That's what I have found.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. That's really good stuff. Folks out there listening, you know, I know we talked a little bit more technical. I mean, the very first thing that I want to say is, in order to implement the solutions that Sed provided on the podcast here, the first step is you have to be keeping a very good, or having someone keep a very good P&L, and you have to be looking at that P&L, right? And implementing that. So I want to make a quick plug here as we sign off here, that coming soon, Dr. Lewis and I are rolling out what we're calling our Next Level Academy, so that it's not just us talking on the podcast, but we've had multiple folks say, hey, can you guys give us some help in implementing some of these things? And so these types of things are the things that we want to talk about and make sure that you guys are a resource, maybe with some tools that you can apply to your practice there. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be rolling that out really, really soon. And we'll tell you how you can get access to that stuff. So thanks so much, Sed. Thanks for always giving of your time and your experience. And for our listeners out there, we hope that you have a great day and a great week. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Take care.